This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, it's going to be a big day. Let's go. Let's go. Tim Kawakami in 45 minutes. Steve Kerr in less than 3 hours. The Warriors are still rolling. And we'll be all over that. But let's talk about this angst with 49er fans.
I'll
pick the scab. Come on. Let's go. 888-957-9570. What are y'all worried about? Why don't you do you give them the benefit of the doubt? It's only day two. I think that like the points you just made there on the crossover, I think it's fair to emotionally feel that way. There's no way a Niner fan is peacocking into the room today.
No.
They took it on the chin a little bit yesterday. But do you give them the benefit of the doubt? Now, you said no. Why?
Because you have, in my estimation, and the way I look at it, you are signaling that it is going to be some belt tightening is what's going to go on. So if it's belt tightening, and if you look at who they've signed so far, they signed a blocking tight end, they signed a backup safety, and they signed
some special teamer.
Yeah,
who, about a half hour ago.
And I have to Google it. Yeah. So right now it feels to me a little Farhanian as far as what you're doing. And I know it's early and the draft hasn't happened and all the rest of it, but what it feels to me is like belt tightening, and I can't help but think about what the organization is doing in terms of broader signaling where, you know, you have 10% of the team up for sale, which tells me you're trying to make a little bit of money. You are reportedly in on the Tampa Bay Rays if they're going to be up for sale, which tells me that maybe you want your resources to go toward a new property. You already bought into Leeds United. It feels to me like the ownership, and I'm not looking at Jed, I'm looking at the actual purse strings pullers. It feels to me like what happened last year was you shoveled a bunch of money out, you went 6-11, and so now they're saying no more. And I get that, but as a fan, it makes me not feel excited about free agency.
Well, that's fine. You cannot. There's nothing to be excited about yet. They haven't given anybody anything to be excited about yet.
A special teamer. And a backup safety.
I'll say it one more time.
And a blocking tight end.
They haven't given the fans right. anything to be excited about. I do think you're potentially, at least potentially, taking a leap when you say the 49ers have decided we're going to stop spending on players so that we can buy a part of the raise. Like, I don't have, and that's so...
Well, part of the team is reportedly up for sale.
Which could be, first of all, could be for many reasons, and second of all, might well be irrelevant in terms of what they do.
Yeah.
They've got, like, I want this to be very, very clear, and Tim Kawakami will help us with this in 45 minutes. The Niners have plenty of money to spend. Plenty of money
in
to spend.
In terms of the cap.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have plenty of money to spend. If what they're doing is lowering their cash out, in other words, big names, big signing bonus, glitzy, glamour, glitzy, I don't know, like, that's part of the NFL, right? Everybody has to do that, right? You have to regenerate yourself constantly in the NFL because of the cap, because of the violence of the sport, because age happens so damn quickly in this sport. Like, and that's why I get to the point I made earlier, which is, man, this is a lot of hand-wringing over a team that went 6-11. You damn well better hope they make some changes. So how do we go into an offseason where everyone's yelling, gotta make some changes? And then they'll make some changes, and before we know what those changes are, we're like, hold on a second. Hold on. Please hang on to all of our players. Wait a minute. I thought we asked for some changes. So I'm not, like, against what you're saying, but I will say this. You know that I have had all along, I have had belief in this front office, and I still do. So they get the benefit of the doubt for now, but it's a short shelf life.
Mm.
Because free agency is not built in a day, but it is built in about five. You get about a week. And so if they're still sitting here at ground zero on Thursday, I'll come over to your side of the fence.
Okay. Yeah.
But, like, I do think that some of what they're doing is inevitable. It's part of football.
I get it, but the choices that they're making, for me, like Dre Greenlaw, for example, and you decide that he's not worth what you're going to pay him. Okay. You decide that he's not worth the money that he got, so you move off of him. And Aaron Banks, a guy who, you know, whether or not you think he's been good or I think he's been great, there's a team out there that thinks he's pretty good, and so he gets signed. And, you know, you look at Jalen Moore, a guy who was a good swing tackle for you, and he stepped in more than admirably when Trent Williams was out, and he played well, and then he gets a deal, and you don't want to pay that. I get it. You don't want to pay that much money for players that other people think are good players. So that's fine. I'm not going to begrudge you for that immediately, but go ahead and replace them with people who are as good, and maybe they make less if that's going to work for you.
Yeah.
So go ahead and replace Dre Greenlaw. And I know he's missed two of the last 4 years due to injury, and so that's a little bit of a tough spot. And last year you thought that Devondre Campbell was the guy, and he was awful. He was awful, and then he quit on you. So I'm a little bit hesitant to give you the benefit of the doubt on that.
Sure.
I'm hesitant.
But that's one signing. Like,
but that's a case example for me.
Okay, but
and you've been chasing the opposite pass rusher, opposite Nick Bosa, and you brought in Ford and Chase Young, and you brought in.
Why is the 2024 draft not a case example?
No, it is.
You? Okay,
I mean, they finally got one right.
To me,
good for you.
To me, the most powerful thing that we've seen on social media in the last 24 hours, if you want to have the benefit of the doubt to the Niners front office or not, is to literally draw the line between the player they lost and the fact that they actually already replaced him. They already replaced him last year. You lose Aaron Banks, Dominic Pooney. You lose Talanoa Hufanga, Malik Mustafa. You lost Jarvarius Ward, Renardo Green. You might lose Jordan Mason. You lost Eli Mitchell, Isaac Garendo.
Patrick Taylor Jr.
Well, that one doesn't. That's too far down the depth chart. And that's why I'm with you on Dre Greenlaw, because they have not replaced that as of yet. So they've got work to do. I don't argue that. But I would argue that the majority, not all, but the majority of the players who left in free agency so far are not players that I'm freaked out to lose at all.
Well, now you're asking your depth pieces, and you mentioned Malik Mustafa, who, you know, you're asking now to come in and be the dude.
Yeah.
Last year he
Hell
was.
Yeah.
And last year, was he the dude?
Yeah.
6-11.
Well,
6-11.
Okay, hold on.
Diamond Lenore was the dude? No, this is your argument.
No, it isn't.
You've talked about 6-11 and all these
unfair.
Players that you're losing
that is,
off a 6-11 team,
God.
And you're saying that, oh, Diamond Lenore, he's the dude.
Yes.
He was the dude on a 6-11 team?
Yeah, you can't.
How is that not the same thing,
it is,
Mark?
Because you can't.
It's exactly the same.
I'll wait or you die.
I am done for
great,
now.
Great.
There's plenty more.
Here's the response to that, my dude. You cannot pin an entire 6-11 season on individuals, but I can certainly position it on large position groups. You are watching a defensive line and offensive line get reworked because they sucked really bad. Go look at the metrics. They sucked.
And you're bringing back 60% of that offensive
line. Not yet. Not yet. I don't know. I know. You keep,
as of now.
Right, because you keep wanting to assess their entire offseason over Monday.
Well, then why are we even talking about it?
Because
we should wait until September 9th, and then we can talk about it.
That's why the question I'm asking is not asking you to look backward. It's asking you to look forward.
And I'm looking
right now. Do you give
them
the benefit of the doubt?
No, I don't.
And that's fine.
For one time in their regime, they actually nailed the draft.
Okay.
First time in totality, they nailed it. They're 1-for-8.
But you can't argue. Well, that's a little bit of a broad brush. You're acting like they never made a good pick before.
No, they've made good picks, but
so
what they did last year,
you cannot say
was
they failed
special.
Seven drafts in a row when they've wanted to re-sign Kittle and Warner and
Banks
Brock
and Jalen Moore.
For that. No, not Banks and Jalen
exactly.
Moore. No, but a lot of homegrown players. The whole receiving core got extensions. The
and
quarterback,
how'd that work out for you?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It
right.
worked out pretty well when Debo got it the first time, and Juwan Jennings worked out pretty well. I've been on record saying Ayuk was a mistake. I said it before they did it. So, but don't act like they don't like any of the players they've ever picked. It's disingenuous.
No, but don't act like a 6-11 team. You can pick and choose like who was a bad one to get rid of and who is good to keep.
But your point
it's
is
the totality of it,
right? And you want to keep the band together. That's
no,
essentially what your point has been.
Your point is Diamond Lenore is amazing
he
on
is.
A 6-11 team.
Yes.
Yet Leonard Floyd is bad because they were 6-11.
I never made that point.
That's kind of what you're saying.
It's not what I'm saying. What I said
you're saying
was
is he can't stop the run,
11
so he's
players,
got to go.
11. I didn't like Leonard Floyd. I don't
right.
think he was that good, but I never made it all about Leonard Floyd. I'm making it about the 49ers in totality. As
yep.
you say, 11 players on the way out the door. Why are we so worried about the girth that we're losing when they weren't good? Of course they're going to make changes. We asked for them to make changes. Now they're making changes and we're freaked out that people are leaving? Of course people are leaving. And I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm glad all of them are gone. I haven't said that. Dre Greenlaw hurts. And on a emotional level, so does Juszczyk, because he's such been such a part of some special things. But to expect the 49ers to match $77 million for Aaron Banks is ludicrous. Like lunacy if the Niners match that.
It depends on how you value your offensive line. So, and you know, Dominic Pooney, fine. He's a rookie, right tackle, right guard, rather. And I wonder who your left guard's going to be. And your center had a bad year, and your right tackle had a bad year. And it doesn't mean that this is going to be your line starting out the season. But right now, when you look at their O-line today as opposed to on Friday, it's hard. I'm hard-pressed to say that it looks better.
It doesn't exist yet.
Right.
It doesn't exist yet. You
well, then why are we even having this conversation?
Because the conversation, if you keep hearing me, is are you giving them the benefit of the doubt?
And if you're hearing me, I'm telling you no.
I understand that, but your reasoning is then you're assessing pizza that you haven't tasted yet.
No, I'm assessing.
You have no idea who's on
their
the team.
Approach. They're not spending money on their players that they drafted, and Adam Peters, who was their number one advanced scout, player personnel guy, he's been gone now 2 years.
Yeah.
And how's that worked out for you?
I don't know. I know that he just gave a bucket full of money to Javon Kinlaw, and if he were still a Niner and he did that, we'd be ripping his butt to shreds today. That's what I know.
Kinlaw was better since he left the Niners.
Good Lord.
Without a doubt.
Good Lord.
He was hurt here, and then they gave up on him,
yeah.
and he went out and he had a good year.
So you want Javon Kinlaw for $45 million? Is that what you're saying?
All I'm saying is he was better when he left here.
So, again.
So you drafted him in the first round, and then you decided
he was
wasn't very good.
Yeah, he was a bust.
Well, they decided he was a bust.
Yeah,
he's now
was.
Gone on to two teams.
He was.
And he's not a bust if he gets $45 million.
The Eagles threw him around like a rag doll in the NFC Championship game.
2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a bust for
coming
the 49ers.
Coming off an injury-plagued year. Well, last year he played well enough to get $45
million. I'm
sure that he doesn't feel like a bust.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
He's a rich man. That's wonderful. I don't care about that. I care about the 49ers playing good football. And that guy did not play good football for the 49ers when he played, and that was rare. So I don't know why we would, you know what I mean? Like, why? That's what I'm getting at. Why with fingernails do you want to dig in and hang on to people that everyone spent 4 months, like, ripping? And like, this was a horrible season. And the 49ers, like, there are realities to this. They have a quarterback that they're about to keep. And they have other players who are playing well who need money. George Kittle, Fred Warner. Warner needs a new contract. He's got nothing guaranteed left. Don't you want to keep him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see how long it takes them to nickel and dime him into the ground.
I'm
going to put it at July 12th as the over-under.
And that's a different conversation, and you may be right about that. Like, you can easily criticize the 49ers for waiting too long to sign a lot of their deals. They could have had Brandon Ayuk for cheaper, and now they're sitting here with Brock Purdy watching other quarterbacks get signed. But this is speculative. I don't want to assess a roster that doesn't exist. The idea is the Niners are who they are for the last 6 years. For at least a few more days, do you give them the benefit of the doubt or not? I do, but there's a shelf life on it. For now. I do for now. You clearly don't.
Thursday is the day you said.
Yeah. So 888-957-9570. You can weigh in on this. Which side are you on? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls on this right now. We would love to hear from 49er fans. Do you give the Niner front office right now, after one day of free agency, the benefit of the doubt or not, at least temporarily? 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by San Francisco International Airport. Tim Kawakami at 3, Steve Kerr at 5, Twillard and Dips.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back.
to Willard and Dibs.
What do you think is going to happen in this game, Sting?
That's great. I think it's going to be a really tight game.
On 95.7 The Game.
That's a great
signing.
Yeah.
Luke Gifford.
Yeah, it's big.
His name's Luke, right?
Who are you?
I get it. Totally. His name Luke.
Yeah, both their free agent signings are Lukes.
Oh,
a couple of Lukes. Yeah.
Well,
a blocking tight end and a special teams ace. They're so back.
Does Nick Day, have baby. Another brother named Luke Bosa? Could get that guy.
Yeah,
Christian does.
I will say this: it's not exciting and nobody cares. But if we're gonna spend a whole season screaming about how awful their special teams were, then maybe we shouldn't scoff at them signing special teams aces. Because that's who this guy is.
That's fair.
This guy is a well-traveled special teams ace, and the 49ers special teams was embarrassing last year.
Yeah.
So, okay. Like, yeah, not sexy, not fun, don't know who he is, probably won't mention his name much ever again, but okay. Like, yes, go fix your special teams. That sounds fine.
And you're replacing a guy who had one of the greatest special teams plays in franchise history in Talanoa Hufanga. Hufanga? With a blocked punt that turned into points in a game where points were hard to come by. So that's one of those things where, yeah, get your special teams better. I like it. That feels more like a day 4, day 5 free agency move.
Well, but
if that's where we are, then let's go crazy. Let's just backfill this thing.
Well, I guess the guy who was with the Titans and their special teams coordinator is now an assistant with the Niners. And so he probably said, go get that guy. And he is also, by trade, he's a linebacker. And he picked off Joe Burrow last year.
Whoa.
Hey.
Okay.
Huh?
Hey.
How do you like him now? All right. Let's go to the phones. Do you give the 49er brass the benefit of the doubt or not? ... Right now. Listen, if they sit free agency out entirely, as I already said, Dibs, I'll join you on that side of the fence. But I'm going to give him the benefit
Thursday.
Of the doubt.
Come Friday.
For now, this is a very short benefit of the doubt. But you get it. You get it now. If you've still not signed anybody not named Luke when I go to bed on Thursday night, then yeah, I'll probably change my tune. That's the question. So who do you agree with? 888-957-957 is the number. Let's go to Drew in San Jose. Hi, Drew. Thanks for calling.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously yesterday was a shocking day for all of us, right? Yeah, I mean, still getting over the players that left, the money that they signed. And I think like all of this in combination of, you know, where the Niners were from a salary cap perspective and how many wins they had last year, what they have done so far, it makes perfect sense, right? And I think, like, I don't think we should get all gung-ho about free agency, so to speak. Like, I'm not even waiting for Friday to be, like, to be sort of perturbed about this or whatever deadline you guys are giving. I'm waiting for the draft, right? Because that's what's going to make or break this offseason, frankly, and that's what the Niners are setting themselves up for. But I also realize that, I mean, my expectations for the Niners next year, given what has happened, they're not very high. And I sort of look at this as a reset year because of that. I mean, they're going to have to completely nail the draft end to end to be at the same winning level that they have been at for the last several years. And I just don't think that's practical. I think it's going to take more than a year or two to get back to where they're at. And I'm completely fine with that as a fan. I understand how the NFL works. And so, I'm not that anxious. I get the business of it.
Drew, thank you. I think it's a really, really good call. And when I say, by the way, I'll join you on that side if they haven't done something by Thursday, I'm not expecting them to do something huge. I don't expect them to go, like, that would be crazy after all of this to go out and start throwing a ton of cash around at big names. I don't even know how many big names are left. I just think they do need to get involved on some level. I don't think you can replace all of these people with rookies, but Drew's not wrong. They've got to nail the draft, and there will be maybe this year some sort of a pay the piper type of a situation because of what you've done the last 2-3 years with all the big names and all the acquisitions. I don't think, though, that that means that they can't compete next year, especially in the division they're in with the schedule that they have.
Yeah, I mean, compete is one thing, but, you know, we've had a standard around here that's been more than just compete, and you've got a lot of veterans, and you've got a lot of high-priced players, and you're going to pay your quarterback $1 million a year, presumably, and whatever that number is, he's going to get it, and you look around the room, and you're going to rely on a lot of younger players, and yeah, last year you nailed the draft. Pearsall, Green, Pooney, Mustafa, Guerrero. I'll even give you Cowing because he was a special teams player.
Yeah, whatever.
He played special teams, and he, I think, is a guy who can step up into a role. But you're asking now for Pearsall to be wide receiver one or two until Ayuk comes back, and you're asking Renardo Green to be your lockdown corner.
He's starting
and you're
corner.
Asking
yep.
Mustafa to come in and be a guy who plays more consistently and is a legitimate number one safety. And Dominic Pooney, he had a nice year at guard, and you're asking him to even be a little bit better. So you're expecting last year's draft class to all get better, and then this year do kind of the same thing and find six more guys who can come in and be dudes. That's a big ask.
The second part is, I don't think the first thing, when you talk about those four players you just named out of the draft, and you said they need to really be good starters this year, I have zero fear about that. None. Like, and Renardo Green does not really need to be the, quote, lockdown corner. In other words, the one.
Sure, you got Deion Lenore. Yeah.
Lenore. But Renardo
Green.
Well,
nowadays you need three corners on the field, so he needs to be one of the three.
Green's going to need to be a starter, and he's needing to play well. Not scared of that. I think Mustafa is fantastic. I think Pooney showed exactly who he is. Pearsall, that was a wobbly deal. I'm bullish. I like what I see. It's been a very small sample. I don't know if he's WR1 or what. Like, I don't know. But I think he's a dude. I think that's a starting wide receiver in the NFL.
Player.
Yeah, like
he's fine. He's good. He's a fine player.
And you've got Juwan, and I do think that there will be an addressing of the wide receiver position going forward on some level. Whether that's
and I wonder what level that is.
Draft and free agency. There's a lot of wide receivers, like professional wide receivers, sitting out there. Kind of an elder statesman feel who can still do some things. You know, what if they pulled in a Keenan Allen or
you
someone
want
like that?
Cup?
Like, I mean, Cooper's that's intriguing, but that's probably causing a problem you don't need, and someone will probably pay him more than you. You know what I mean? Like, you bring in Cooper.
Man.
And then...
That, to me, is the perfect guy to bring in.
Well, I don't know what he's going to cost. And then Brandon, right. Like, if Ayuk's still on the team, then he comes back and gets healthy. You've got first-round draft capital used on Ricky Pearsall. You want to use him. Juwan Jennings is sitting over here, proved a bunch of stuff last year. Like, I don't want to pay a lot to overcrowd the room. And you know, then you're not even relying on any individual that much. I don't hate the player. Yeah. Good player. Really good player.
I like the player. Yeah. And I do think I look at Ayuk, and he's coming off of two knee ligament tears. And I do think that the Niners look at that contract and think, oh, my God, how do we get out of this? We done messed this thing up.
I agree with you there.
If they could trade him now, they would, but I don't think they can.
You're probably right. And I'm wondering why you like Cooper Kupp so much, because to me, he's exactly Joey Bosa on offense.
Oh, no, he plays more than Joey.
Maybe. The guy got hurt every year. Let's be real.
Right,
three years in a row, hurt every year.
I'm not saying you bring him in for a four-year deal, but you're looking at a spot where you need a guy. Because Juwan Jennings, he's a good receiver. He's a tough receiver. Ricky Pearsall is trending in the right direction, but you have no wide receiver one right now. And Cooper Kupp would be that for a year. And if you give him 1 year and $20 million, then, or $15 million, or whatever the number would be, You bring him in, you give him a one-year prove-it deal, and now you've got a real dude out there. Because right now, your wide receiver core, if I'm a defense, I'm laughing.
No, it needs more bodies. I think we get a little too fantasy football-ish with the whole, like, you need a wide receiver one. The Chiefs don't have one. Haven't had one. They go to the Super Bowl every year. You know,
well, their tight end was their wide receiver one. And he was. I mean, and this year he faded, and now he might retire.
Yeah, and but they still went to the Super Bowl, got within a game of winning the whole thing. So, like, I'm not saying I hate the idea.
Yeah.
You know, the Eagles have two really good receivers, but I don't think you need to have somebody that, like, fits that dog bill in order to succeed in the NFL. In fact, I think you could argue the Niners, the last handful of years when they've been really good, they've had good receivers. They haven't had anybody where you're like, ooh, WR1 done walked into the building.
No, they you had like, I mean? They had four different people. Yeah. And right now, if you want to look at all your targets, you've got George Kittle, who's wide receiver one, and George Kittle has been amazing, and he will continue to be that. You got Christian McCaffrey, who's a great receiver, but I don't know what McCaffrey's going to be with the bilateral Achilles tendonitis. We just don't know how much he's going to bounce back. And then you get to an injured Ayuk and Pearsall and Cowing. So for me, you go from Debo and George and Christian and Juice and Juwan, and now you've got Juwan, who's better, Christian, question mark, George, yes, but he's getting old, and we don't even know if Ricky Pearsall can be six-catch-a-game guy.
I think more's coming. I think don't you think? I think more's coming. Or like we just started. They'll get some receivers.
In the draft. I bet
there's a veteran free agent also. I bet that.
I would bet that it would be somebody of the Anquan Boldin ilk, somebody who got brought in at 36 or 37.
Maybe that's a
somebody
Keenan
at
Allen
the
type.
End of the yeah, exactly.
I don't know about 36, but like somebody who's had their 30th birthday, maybe.
Oh, even I would say well beyond that. And that's where I have my biggest issue. We can go to the phones. Is the vibes they're giving off that I'm getting as a fan is we're not in on day one. We're not in on day two. We're going to wait until we get to the real bargains. Like, you go to a garage sale at like 4 o'clock and you have a garage sale that's like garage sale, 8 to 5. And you pull up at 4 o'clock and that lovely vase that was there for $28 is now $1.25. It's like, yeah, I'll take that.
How about Amari Cooper?
Oh, boy.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not a huge fan.
Why?
I think that he drops the ball too much. And
he does?
Just my perception.
Oh, okay.
Not a big Amari Cooper guy.
All right. But I mean,
Can't block?
Someone like that.
Sure. That's what we're looking at.
I don't think the Niners are going to get Stephon Diggs, but I'm bringing up names who are 31-year-old, veteran receivers, right. Downside. You're going to get them on a 1 or 2 year deal for blah, blah, blah $1 million. Sure. And move on.
How many teams have looked at Amari Cooper and said, yeah, we're good? Is it now 4 in a row? Four straight teams?
I don't know that they've all said it like that. I mean, the Raiders dealt him at a time where they were raidering, right? This is the constant.
They're
like,
always raidering.
Right, Khalil Mack, like, oh, you want money? Let's send you somewhere else. Then he was absolutely incredible in Dallas. Incredible. Then they reboot their thing. He goes to Cleveland. I'd argue a hell of a lot more good than bad. And the only odd stop for Amari was last year, where he went to Buffalo. And
did he play?
Yes. And by the way, that was at the deadline. So we're literally looking at like 10 football games. He had a couple really good ones, then disappeared a lot, then missed a couple, and then came back and just wasn't really in the rotation. And you thought with Josh Allen, you're like, ooh, this is going to be some music. And it wasn't. But yeah, there's 10 games. You know what I mean? Like, I still think, and for what the Niners need, I think that's a name that's interesting to me.
I mean, if we're talking about $2 million, then yeah, bring him in.
I don't know about $2 million.
Well,
I know that's less than your backup quarterback makes.
Yeah,
backup quarterbacks make about $4 million
now.
That's
more than your starting quarterback made, so.
Fair point.
There you have it.
All right, let's go to Wayne in Walnut Creek. What's up, Wayne? What are you doing?
Hey, it's great to be on. Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on the 49ers free agency. And I just wanted to say that I'm glad that the 49ers are exercising restraint in terms of overpaying for free agents that obviously have questionable injury history. We got to ask ourselves as Niner fans, when's the last time has the 49ers spent a lot of money on a free agent who has injury history, and it just so happened to pay off for us? The only one that comes close, I think, was Richard Sherman, and we still had to overpay to bring him in. So outside of him, like who else has really paid off?
Well, it depends on what you mean by paid off. Sometimes, like I'll give you a name like Dee Ford. And people will remember that as like a bad thing because the money got out of hand and he got really, really injured late. But then again, right, he also paid some huge dividends early on and in a playoff run that led to within a quarter of a ring. So, you know, I don't know, like, it's hard sometimes to assess paid off. And you know, free agency, like Christian McCaffrey wasn't a free agent, but he was outside the building. They did what they had to do to bring him in. They paid him. No, they haven't won a ring, but I would do that deal again if you had to do it all over again.
For sure.
Yeah.
For McCaffrey, like a second, third, fourth, and fifth, and he came in and got you close. And even though now you're looking at maybe the beginning of the end, I don't know how he's going to bounce back from the injury he had, but last year was not good. He had, and I was looking at it earlier, he had a grand total of 69 touches for the season. 69. Mm. 50 carries, 19 catches, and that's it. 4 games, and he's out. And you gave him all that new money, and so now you're going to bring him back, and he's going to be 29, and he's had how many injuries? 29?
Yeah, but I remember a year or two when he was a Panther where people are like, oh, I'm Christian McCaffrey, burn me in the fantasy draft, and I'm done with him. And then what happened?
Well, that's when he was 24.
Yeah, I get it.
Now he's a running back who's coming up on being 30.
I know, but he's not yet. And I don't think you're like done and dead at 29. Put it this way. A lot of people go, man, we're going to go out in the market and get someone with an injury history. They've all got injury history.
Sure. Sure.
All of them. Nobody in the NFL hasn't been hurt. So, like, yeah, that's the game you play, and you're going to get burned some.
Right, and that's why when you move off of Debo, it's easy to do so. And now you have Brandon Ayuk with an injury history, and he's coming off of two major knee ligament injuries. And, you know, you hope that the surgery goes well and he can start to make his way back. But it's unfortunate, because I do think that you would have looked at it after a 6-11 year, if he didn't get hurt and you still went 6-11, he would have been traded by now, without a doubt.
Ayuk?
I believe so, yeah.
You're probably right. Although, if he hadn't gotten hurt, what kind of a season would he have had?
Probably 6-11 still.
No, him, individually. Like, I think the other part of Ayuk is not just that he got hurt, it's that I don't think he looked all that good before he got hurt.
He had one really good game.
Awesome.
It looked like he was back.
Yeah, he also had three that made people scream at him in the home building.
Yep.
This is a complete quick aside. Brandon Ayuk has completely ruined his relationship with the 49er fans. And that's too bad. But I was thinking about this today, especially with all the news that's come out just in the last 2 weeks about how much the 49ers themselves really regret this deal. Really regret this deal. Some, in fact, are even pinning the business model they have this year specifically on what happened with Ayuk last year. So when you add all these things up, and again, I'm not putting what happened last summer all on Ayuk. The Niners share in the blame for the way that whole thing played out. But at the same time, Brandon Ayuk, with the way he handled his contract negotiation, then came to the podium and admitted that he was a pain in the rear, then came out, dropped balls on opening night, then dropped a few more balls, then kind of had one good half, then blew his leg up, and now the Niners are rebooting everything, especially that position room. Boy, like, even when he gets healthy for week 4 or whatever and comes out, I just don't think that relationship is ever going to be the same.
Well, it will be if he comes out and plays amazing right away in a win. But I said it last year, where he needs to, the way he did the whole offseason, and the team is responsible as well, but the way he came off the offseason, you know, with the holdout and all the rest of it, he had better come out and ball out, because the fans were going to have no tolerance, and they didn't have tolerance. And you look at what he did in the 7 games that he played, and he had the 8-catch game against Arizona. They lost, and then he had back-to-back 2-catch games, including the one against Kansas City where he got hurt, and it was like fans were just so frustrated at that point, because the team was struggling and he was a non-factor.
Jacoby Brissett to the Cardinals. He'll be Kyler Murray's backup. Just wanted to throw that in there as things keep flying during free agency. Carlos in Hayward. Hey, Carlos, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah.
I want to give Shanny and Lynch the benefit of the doubt, and I wasn't too worried about losing all those players. I knew half of them would be gone. But when we lost Greenlaw, I felt like that was a bargain. I didn't think we would overpay. That was a good deal that that we could have had for Greenlaw. And I kind of envisioned that duo of Warner and Greenlaw being like the next Willis Bowman and playing together for years like that. And that one hurt. That one hurt. Now I'm starting to worry. I don't know if Joey Bosa is going to be the answer to the D-line, and we haven't addressed the O-line. We don't have an old lockdown corner. I'm really worried now, guys.
I think Lenore probably should have earned a little bit more of your trust after last season, Carlos. But your larger point, I think, is totally fair. Carlos, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. I'm with Carlos. The Dre Greenlaw thing hurts. It hurts on multiple levels. It also makes me scratch my head, though. I wonder what they know that we don't know. Like, when you look at the amount of money that got spent yesterday, and then Dre Greenlaw gets 3-35 with the Broncos, okay? So an average of just under 12 a year.
Yep.
And everyone goes, damn, that's a bargain. And I'm like, yeah, that's a bargain. So why the hell is that all he got? And what do we know? We know that Dre finally came back late in the season. He looked awesome for a half, and then he had to limp off the field again. And then he played again like 2 weeks later, and he had to limp off the field again. And so I look at it and go, you know, I think the Broncos are buying low, but gave a good couple-year guarantee there for a player who we know is talented. But clearly the doctors know something too, because when you look at the amount of money that got thrown around yesterday, a man of Dre Greenlaw's talents, if people were very confident in his health, he'd have gotten twice what he got.
But they weren't confident in his health, right, which is why he signed a deal that was a little bit more secure long-term. It's a 3-year deal. And if the Niners were offering 1-15 and Denver was offering 3-35, even though it's not fully guaranteed, if you're Dre, you're taking the 3-35. Because you're going to go 1 year and make the 12 and figure, well, I'm going to earn the next 12 and go out there and, you know, have a chance to earn that final piece of that contract. That, for me, is the way that that's all going to go. And I'm just looking at what the Niners are doing or not doing, and it feels like they're really tightening the belt, and Tim Kawakami will have a better idea of exactly what's going on. I'm just scratching my head as to why. 6-11 for me is not a good enough reason for them to all of a sudden now not want to be players in free agency.
Well, and again, I don't know if it's I don't want to be a player in free agency or if it's I don't want to be a player at that level of free agency. Because, yeah, I watched a lot of those deals yesterday, and I'm like, dude, those are big. They're too big. There's a lot of guys that got signed yesterday. You're like, what?
Well, they used to do this.
Yeah, and here they are. And like, when you do that, you have to reboot. You have to reboot. More on that coming up, because not only is Tim Kawakami about to join us, but Ian Rappaport weighed in on this and had some really interesting things to say specific to the 49ers. So we'll let you hear all of that, but Kawakami joins us next, super tapped in on all this, wrote a great article about it on SF Standard. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. And also want to let you know that this Thursday in the 5 p.m. hour, 2 days from now, we're going to get you ready for the Thursday after that. And what's the Thursday after that? Well, it's the start of the college basketball championship, of course, on Thursday, March 20th. And so what we're doing on Thursday this week is giving away the best seat in the house package for two people at Splash at Thrive City, newest sports bar that's right next to Chase Center. Best seat in the house package includes a prime location on floor 2, which is fancy, at Splash, overlooking the gigantic video boards, and we'll be showing the games, 2 appetizers, 4 entrees, and a dessert. And all you need to know right now is that you got to be listening this Thursday during the 5 o'clock hour, and then more details will come your way. Tim Kawakami coming your way next on Willard and Dibs.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more.
Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.